Welcome to the Messy Heart Podcast, designing coffee shop dates with words so you push off the table knowing you're not the only one, leaving a little more ready to continue the fight. Here is your host, Mia.
Hey friends, welcome to the Messy Heart Podcast. I have an exciting conversation ahead for us today, and I think you're really going to enjoy it. I sit down with my friend Tatiana, and we talk about what it is like being an immigrant in America today. It's rich, and it's full of wisdom and light and hope, and I hope that you enjoy it. As always, you are welcome to the table. We are so honored that you're hanging for a bit, and there are lots of different ways that you can connect. Linked in the description below, you can find the website, the Instagram, and a number that you can even call. All those are ways for you to record and input your thoughts. We'd love to hear from you. And if you leave a voice recording with the phone number, you can actually be a part of the podcast next time. Make sure you're following along on Instagram because there will be prompts and discussions happening there. And as always, I am happy to connect with you all and hear your input. I hope you enjoy Tatiana, and I hope you enjoy this conversation, and I hope you leave this table feeling a little bit more full. So let's start with introducing you to the community a little bit. How do we know each other?
Well, I stumbled upon your blog through one of my good friends, Jordan, and she was a guest post a few years ago or a year ago.
Yeah.
And I remember just reading her stuff that she posted for you, like as a guest. And then I just was so curious to know more about who you were. So I scrolled through and one post turned to like five posts and I just kept reading. And I was so curious. I'm like, who is this Mia person? And at that moment, you were already in Thailand. So I just thought it was really interesting that a couple of months later or a year later, I got to meet up with you and have coffee.
Yeah, that's true. I guess our first official like hangout meetup was an actual coffee date. I had totally forgotten about that. Yes, Jordan Stroman, who has guest posted for me, I think just once, and it was part of a really cool Christmas series where I had just a series of friends write kind of about suffering and Christmas. And Jordan's post especially did incredible. I think it was like 10,000 reads. But
wow.
Jordan is incredible. So if you're listening and you haven't read her stuff on Messy Heart, her stuff in general, you should check her out. Yes, so you talked about Jordan meeting me through that community and the community of people around her and the blog. We are currently in Orlando, which listeners who've been listening know, but why are you in Orlando? Because you're not originally from Orlando.
Right. So I moved to Orlando over a year ago. And I came here because of a dream, actually, like a series of dreams dating back from 2014. And I'm a person that's very not attached to my dreams. Mm-hmm. I feel like dreams are just like, oh, imagination or parts of life that you are thinking about. But these were very vivid dreams and I challenged it. I'm like, okay, if I'm going to have these types of dreams of living in a different city, I'm going to like seek out counsel. And I spoke to friends about it. And everything that was happening in Miami kind of felt like it came to a standstill point where I wasn't growing anymore as a person. I felt limited. And the opportunity of Orlando came up, and I asked myself three questions. If there is a way for me to have a place to live, have consistent income, and have a community, then I would move to that city. And each thing happened one after the other, and I couldn't ignore it. And I moved.
That's amazing. And so this is a question that I had while listening, and I'm sure listeners might too. You said that it was from a dream. Do you mean literal or like
a literal dream, like go to sleep?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's what I thought too, which might be really weird for some listeners. I can relate. I feel like I've had certain dreams which I know are just different than the imagination or the memory dreams where it really feels like it's telling you something beyond your own mind.
For sure.
Putting puzzle pieces together. Neat. So I usually ask people that are from Orlando what their favorite thing about Orlando is. But I am going to be more interested in Miami right now because I feel like I know two different types of people, the people who hate Miami and despise it and will not go near it only if they have to, or people who absolutely love it. I feel like I don't know a lot of people who are just in the middle.
Yeah.
So where do you fall and then your favorite thing about Miami?
I'm definitely a person that's in the middle.
Okay.
I grew up not really enjoying Miami. I thought it was very different than, originally I'm from Brazil.
Okay.
So growing up in Miami felt like home a bit because of the diversity,
mm-hmm.
but I just didn't connect so much with all the culture, and I didn't really fit in school. Like K-12, I didn't really fit in because I felt very different.
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't my favorite place. I was like, okay, I can't wait to leave.
Mm-hmm.
And interesting enough, when I moved away here to Orlando, whenever I go back to visit, I fall in love with Miami, and I appreciate the city a lot more.
Yeah, I love that. And my last podcast that I posted with my friend Kelsey Martin, she said the exact same thing, where she grew up in Tampa, which I feel like we can all relate. We kind of grow up wanting to get away from our hometown,
mm-hmm.
but then when you come back, it's like a special little treasure in there. I feel like there's new things to be discovered, too, when you're looking at it from a fresh pair of eyes. Yeah. So you mentioned that you were Brazilian,
mm-hmm.
which I think is really cool. I am half Chinese, technically Taiwanese, because my mom was born and raised in Taiwan, but both of her parents were born and raised in China and then migrated to Taiwan. But being multicultural or different than the average person, at least the kind that I grew up with, I was always asked, "What are you?" And I never knew how to answer that. And then they would say, "Where are you from?" And if I said Florida, that wasn't really good enough for them, because that's not really what they were asking. And then it would kind of boil down to, "Where are your parents from?" Or where are their parents from? And so are both of your parents from Brazil?
No, actually. So my mom's side, she's from Angola, a country in Africa. And she's also from the Netherlands. So two continents there.
Uh-huh.
And then my dad has history in Brazil. Ancestry in Brazil and also in Portugal.
Wow.
So it's really cool to represent three different continents, South America, Africa, and Europe.
Yeah, that is really neat. And do you still have, how often do you go back to Brazil? Do you have connections in Brazil, memories?
I have a half-sister in Brazil and a few cousins.
Okay.
But outside of that, I haven't been able to go back since I left as a child.
Cool. And do you speak Portuguese?
Oh, yeah. With my parents, for sure. They kind of get upset if I speak to them in English.
English.
Yeah.
That's so funny. Yeah. I love that. I love that parents that choose to mm-hmm. stick with the language, because I grew up in a very different household where once my mom was in America, she really wanted me to learn English and be fluent in English. So I used to know Chinese fluently, but because everyone stopped talking to me in it, I only know English now. And it's such a frustration. I wish I could speak Chinese. That would be a cool skill. So that's really cool. Are those the two languages that you can speak, English and Portuguese?
I also learned Italian in middle school for 2 years.
Casual.
And then I went in high school. I was a part of a magnet program that we had to take a language
mm-hmm.
course. So I took French for 3 years. And my last year, senior year, I took French AP.
Oh my gosh.
So yeah. So I know French and Italian.
Italian.
As well.
That's amazing.
Oh, and growing up in Miami.
Spanish.
Yeah. I understand Spanish completely. Can't speak it.
But you can understand
it. But I can understand it. Yeah.
Oh, that's so cool. Man. All right. So we're going to transition a little bit into talking about being an immigrant, which means a lot to me because my mother was an immigrant. And it means a lot, I think, to our culture now and what's going on in America. I think if you turn on the news, it's what we're hearing about the most. And there's so many different perspectives and stories. And growing up in Florida, a very diverse state, I feel like I was constantly surrounded by
mm-hmm.
immigrants. So I almost took it for granted that it was almost normalized to me. But I know for a lot of people, it's not normalized. And so I want to talk a little bit to you about that. And beforehand, when we were kind of discussing things, you mentioned the word urgency.
Mm-hmm.
Why does urgency come up when we come to the topic of immigration and being an immigrant?
That's a great question. Urgency to me means immediate action. And I believe that there are two different types of urgencies. There is a fear-based one, which I experienced a lot growing up, the fear of being misunderstood or stigmatized. And so I had an urgency to make sure that I was always on top of everything and my appearance and how I was perceived by people because I was an immigrant. And then there is a separate type of urgency, and it's one that comes from suffering and appreciating the life that I have and wanting others to experience what real, authentic love is from another human being. So I have one life and I want to live it well, which is a Switchfoot song that I really like.
No, that's really beautiful. I think that was like a big lesson that I learned last year, is that once you go through suffering, I heard it in a sermon, I think it was John Piper, and he just said, I don't want to waste my suffering. And so when I heard that, that kind of clicked for me, where it's like, I can take these experiences that are hard and I can do nothing with them or try to stuff them down or pretend they never happened, or I can use it to impact others and to impact myself and my story. And I feel like you almost have to do that if you want to fully heal.
Of course, yeah.
But when you kind of stuff it down, it's hard to heal and it's hard to be compassionate. And when I listen to you speak about the topic, that's what I hear. I hear compassion, and I don't doubt that it's been hard, but it's beautiful that you want to show people what real love looks like, which sadly, not every immigrant experiences. Being different in a different country can be really hard. What are some ways that you have really experienced love?
There are so many examples of that, and I've been fortunate to experience many examples. One that I think about the most often whenever I'm in a place where I question like my purpose in this city has definitely been how he got me here. I created a fundraiser. A couple of my closest friends in Miami challenged me to pursue the dreams that I had, and the like, hey, Tatiana, you always give so much. Enneagram 2, the helper. You need to help yourself, like, pursue what you want. And that was very kind of them to keep, like, pushing me to do it, because I would rather just help other people follow their dreams versus, like, actually pursuing my own. And I listened to them, and I started a fundraiser. And in 13 days, I got money from 13 friends. Friends who had weddings coming up, friends who did not have the money at all, and I raised close to $7,000 in almost 2 weeks, and I had more than enough that I wanted to move to this city. I was originally thinking, oh, I'll just have $2,000, right, and that'll be okay, and it was incredible just to have friends in not only in Miami, but friends here and friends in different parts of the country and the world who gave towards the fundraiser, so I felt very loved.
That's incredible. Yeah, that's so good. And now, do you feel like because you've been given to, that you are more giving to others?
For sure. That's the chain reaction of giving. When someone comes down into your level and you experience a connection with that person through the act of giving, it changes your life.
Yeah, and it's crazy how almost normal it feels in our community, which it takes sometimes a hard snap of reality for me to realize that that's not the case
that's
for everybody
everyone.
In
yeah.
everyone's community. I think since moving to Orlando, I've been loosely connected to the same people, and they are just so giving, and they love like Jesus loves, and they give like he gave, and it's been so beautiful. And I remember right before I moved to Thailand, I needed some money to help bring over classroom supplies and getting set up. And so I sold t-shirts, and the community just like, they dove right in. Like, people were buying multiple t-shirts just
That's
for
incredible.
Themselves. And then I remember one person reaching out that was not from the community and kind of shaming me for raising money and doing t-shirts. And it brought so much anxiety to me because I was like, am I doing something wrong? And it took someone sitting down and being like, Mia, like, you've been given to and you've given, so you know that this is how it works for our community. And this person, instead of being upset or anxious, instead looking at them and being, you know, feeling sadness for them that they haven't experienced giving. And so, and it was hard. The anxiety affected me for months, but I remember finally being able to write her back and being like, I'm so sorry, but this is just the way our community works. And these are the things that I've given to. And you know, it didn't, it does, it's not weird for us. And she wrote back a pretty civil response, and I could tell that it was different from her. She hadn't been a part of a community that gave like that, which is sad for me. It's something that I want everyone to experience. And I always say, I don't know, I feel like when you give, your finances get better because you're more free from it. You're not a slave to money anymore.
You're not attached to money, exactly. Yeah.
No, totally. I love that. Wanting to touch back a little bit on your childhood as an immigrant, which you talked a little bit about, but how did you feel different? I mean, you did grow up in Miami, so it's very diverse. Did you feel different than other kids?
Yeah. So I definitely, going back to being asked, like, who are you? Like, what are you? Mm-hmm. I had that a lot growing up. Mm-hmm. And so I had trouble making friends because, hey, you look black. You're in a black area right now, diverse area with a bunch of Hispanics, blacks, and whites. But you act different, and you have broken English right now. Mm-hmm. Like, who are you? And, yeah, that went on for a couple of years. Definitely raised in a home where my parents were very strict as well, so I kept myself in a certain way. And I was very reserved growing up, so that also made it super hard to be good friends with others. And there was just, like, a breakthrough point in middle school when all of my friends all liked the same boy bands, and so I dove right in, and mm-hmm. I was like, okay, cool, I belong. We like the same music. Yeah.
That's amazing. Yeah, I think that that is a total misunderstanding that people, I mean, it's sad, but I feel like people assume that immigrant parents are bad parents or mm-hmm. that they don't parent well. But I've experienced such the opposite, where my mom was so on top of me more than my friends, of where I was, who I was with. I also wasn't allowed to, you know, do sleepovers until I was much older than all when my friends got to do them. And I think that's something that I really struggled with growing up, was how strict my mom was, but something I definitely appreciated later growing up. And
for sure.
Discipline, yeah.
Is that what you were going to say?
I interrupted you.
Sorry, no. Yeah, I just thought of the word discipline. I'm like, yep, that's an immigrant parent right there. Or most immigrant parents.
Most immigrant parents. Yeah. Which I love. Yeah. Okay, so now you're not a child anymore. You're a young adult or an adult. I don't know what the cutoff of young adult is. I don't want to offend you by saying that. Hopefully you don't take that as an offense.
No, I'm not offended.
But what is it like now being a young adult immigrant versus a child?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. At the age of 16, I felt more than anything, more of an immigrant with like applying for ACTs and SATs and dreaming of going to out-of-state colleges and realizing that there was something wrong with my status in this country, and finally, like, for the first time being aware of that and seeing the differences that it brought along, my friends being able to get their driver's licenses and start applying for summer jobs or summer internships, and I had to do free internships, and I couldn't drive. I rode a bike. And so there are just some, those were some of the differences early on. And then paying international fees for college was pretty hard, that I had to, after my sophomore year, I wanted to get a 4-year degree. I could only do 2 years just because I couldn't afford more than that outside of my parents' support. There's that. And so most of the work that I've gotten, even with my art history degree that I don't use at all, has been like office jobs and a lot of babysitting. But it's cool that more than ever, doors have opened, I'd say in the last 3 years specifically, in which I've been doing more of the things that I'm passionate about, not just working to work to gain income. So as an immigrant, I feel like a lot of people don't get to see that you can follow your dreams and you have passions inside of you, and you don't need to do a 9-to-5 where you're just trying to make ends meet. Mm-hmm. Like, you're just as normal as everyone else in this country, in the sense that you can contribute and also enjoy the life that you have.
Yeah, that's so good. And so what are some of those things that you're passionate about that you're getting to do more of now?
One is definitely video work. I film. And right now I also do video editing for a podcast, which I enjoy so much.
Yeah, it's been cool to see you do that. And like you said, it's hard because when you have a college degree, you don't necessarily, I mean, I think you're a great babysitter and you're great with kids, but I think there is something humbling about having to do those types of jobs when mm-hmm. you know that you're capable and passionate, and everyone around you knows that you're capable and passionate to do so much more. So we've touched base on a lot of fear and hardships that come with being an immigrant, mm-hmm. but I want to make sure that that's not where we stay focused in, because there is so much more. Mm-hmm. Tell me something beautiful about being an immigrant.
There's just so much to say when I hear, thank you for asking that question, first of all. Yeah, it definitely helps me to hear someone else, a good friend, bring up that there's beauty in being an immigrant. So I appreciate that. And there is. There's a lot of beauty to it. I love that I am different. I love that I get to enjoy different cultures. I get to appreciate different parts of my heritage, which I love. I get to share that with other people. I get to be a part of a ongoing conversation where people get to experience something other than themselves, which is awesome. Being an immigrant, I've gotten opportunities already to like be a part of someone else's story, and they've opened up to me in such a way because I've experienced similar things to them through being an immigrant as well.
I would agree that all of those things are super beautiful, and I treasure and appreciate the same things when I think about my mom and my background and just diversity in general. Mm. So we did talk a little bit about your passions and your dreams and how you're getting to pursue those.
Did you hear that?
No. What was
it? That was my stomach rumbling. I'm pretty sure I picked it up. I'm pretty sure.
There's no way.
Because it went through my throat.
Oh my gosh, if that picked that up, then we're in trouble, because I feel like I've been moving around a lot.
Like it echoed through my throat, Mia. Oh my gosh. How embarrassing. Okay.
Okay. I agree that those things are beautiful, and I would think that I treasure and appreciate all those same things when I think about my diversity and my background and my mother being an immigrant. Mm. So we did talk a little about your passions and your dreams, but mm-hmm. I know that they go deeper, as does everyone's. And so what is one desire that you have right now?
My greatest desire would be that others would feel known and cared for. And I know that I'm not out to save the world. I can just make an impact where I'm planted. And there's a quote that I really enjoy, and it's you cannot give what you don't have. So it's really important for me to check my motives and to also make sure that I'm investing in myself. To me, 2018 has been a lot about self-care, as I've gotten to do more things that I love. That's great to have a full schedule with a bunch of things, but if I'm not resting, then what's like I'm not efficient in how I can love others well. So it's really important for me to not only try to live out the love that I want others to experience, but to also love myself.
I love that. I agree that that's really important. Yeah, I think that that's a lesson that I've been learning too, what that looks like to take care of yourself before you start pouring into others, because you get burnt out really fast if you're not fulfilled mm-hmm. yourself. So jumping back a little bit, talking about that word immigrant, you just shared some of your desires and some of the beautiful things mm-hmm. around the word, which I agreed with all of them, but unfortunately not everyone does. And if you watch the news and the media right now, there is a lot of fear mm-hmm. around the word immigrant, and so I thought it would be interesting, instead of asking someone who has no idea what it's like to be mm-hmm. in your shoes or in people like yours shoes, mm-hmm. What's an actual fear that you hold?
Yeah, it's very tempting to carry a lot of fear. Legitimately, it's all valid, the kind of fear that is imposed on an immigrant in our country. A really cool experience that I have that I get to share with others is that each year I have less and less fear, and it's because of my relationship with Jesus. It's changed. Like, it's a game changer. It's changed the way that I look at myself as an immigrant. I no longer identify myself as a person that is, my life is held by the government and its decisions. I know that my value and my worth isn't found in just the word immigrant, but I am also a child of God, which is really important, I think, for every immigrant to understand and believe, is that they are more than just that word. Though that word does carry beauty, there's a lot of fear, especially with what you said, the times that we're living in now and it being a hot topic. A fear that I carried for a long time would be, would I be accepted in a friend circle? Okay, so you're an immigrant. How does that feel? What does that look like? And there's a lot of shame that comes with it for me personally, that came with it in many years. And so for many years, sorry. So that is a fear that till this day I have to wrestle with sometimes. Like it'll surface back, like the word shame attached to being an immigrant because of how things are right now in America.
I love that. I think that's really good and really important. And I know for a lot of listeners who have listened to just a little bit of your story and what it's like to walk in your shoes, I'm sure they want something tangible that they can do. So it could be something from your story or something that you've experienced or not, and you wish that you had experience, but what's something tangible that someone could do to love an immigrant well, or doesn't even have to be an immigrant, but just someone who is different with a different background.
Yeah. I would say, listen to someone's story, sit down and actually listen. You can have questions, but it's so important, I think, to connect with someone and just sitting down with them and say, look, I'm interested in who you are and I want to know you, and you have value. Your story is important and you make up a special part of a bigger story. I think when everyone gets to feel that from another person, we're living out more of the life that we were created to have.
I love that. And I think just listening to, because someone's story with beauty and curiosity and respect, because I think a lot of people, if you ask them right now, where are you from, that might fill them with fear. But I think if they can see that you just want to listen to their story, and not necessarily when you ask where are you from, even talking specifically about a country or a place, but just who are you, what are your passions, your desires, your dreams, where did you get them from, a lot of what we got to do just a little bit today and sharing a story, I think everyone loves to talk about themselves. So if you give them a trustworthy space to do it. And I agree, that's where really great friendships and understanding and compassion grows from. That's really great. So I'm going to end us with the same question that I end all of my guests with. What's bringing you simple joy these days?
I love that you ask all of your guests that question. For me, I got to think a little bit about running. For me, I love running, though I've never, true confessions, have run like a marathon or a 5K. There are many that I want to be a part of, but running to me is just freedom. And I get to, running is really special to me now more than ever because, unfortunately, I have an iron deficiency that led me to the hospital twice, like 3 years apart. And running was never, like in the years where I had like severe anemia, where it wasn't an option. I ran across the block and I would be out of breath. And so when I got new blood the second time 2 years ago, and I could run miles without being out of breath, it almost felt like I had a new body. And so running reminds me of the miracles that come with taking care of yourself.
That's amazing. I love that. I didn't even know that you like to run. That's amazing.
You should run sometime.
I was going to say that, but I'm very slow, so I always get scared running with actual runners. But thank you so much, Tatiana, for coming on today. It was an honor to listen to your story, and I'm sure whoever's listening feels the same.
Thank you. It's a pleasure, and I love supporting you.
That's sweet. All right. Bye, guys.
Bye.
That's it. Thanks for listening. For more from Messy Heart, visit messyheart.com and join the community on Instagram at Messy Heart Blog. Until next time, friends.